Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service again. Just before I begin, let me pray. Lord, I need you. I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Lord, how I need you. Lord, we need to hear your voice this morning. We invite you to speak, and we will listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, folks, a few years ago, I was watching an interview with an Irish footballer called Damien Duff. Some of you all know him. He played for Chelsea and for Ireland. And it just was taken what he said was, he said, ever since he was a little boy, when he saw something round, he wanted to kick it. And then a few years later, I went to Stranmillis University and I met a group of people there that if they made a worksheet, something drove them to want to laminate it. So there's something about that, isn't there? And my wife, who is a teacher, you'll know, she's one of these laminator people. And Zara is forever showing me these beautiful worksheets that she's made for Tandragee Primary School. But one day she came home from work and she's showing me a picture for the reason why she was late, which was that she organized her store. Now, organizing your store is fine, but who takes a picture of that and shows it round? It's terrifying, and that's my life. If I put something in the wrong cupboard, or if I put something in the wrong box, I get in a wee bit of trouble. Now, I suppose you could say that where we put things is really, really, really important. I once heard somebody say that knowledge tells us that tomatoes are fruits, but wisdom tells us not to put them into the fruit salad. Do you get that? Knowledge tells us that a tomato is a fruit, but wisdom tells us not to put it into a fruit salad. Well, I think in the Christian life, where we put things is of absolute defining importance. And the thing that I think is more important than anything is where we put a word that the Bible says is works, okay? Where we put works is very, very, very important. And it's important to how we enter into the Christian life, and then it's unbelievably important where we put it in the Christian life. I believe each of our eternities hangs on where we put works. Now, some of you are hearing me speak, and you're thinking, we know this. We know that there's faith and there's works, and you need to have faith, and works are useless. And you're right, but I want you to stick with me for a few minutes and not dial out to make sure you really understand that. You see, those of us who consider ourselves Reformed Protestants will think we're saved not by works but by faith, and you are dead right. Ephesians 2 says it explicitly, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Do you hear that? By faith, not by works, so nobody can boast. But I can tell you, even in this evangelical parish of Marilyn, where the gospel has been preached for many, many, many years, I speak to people every single day that find it unbelievably hard to accept that. People who've been in this parish all their lives that still seem to believe that lie that somehow they are good enough by their own merit. I read a story this week about a cake mix box, and a company came up with this amazing, amazing, amazing recipe for cake mix. And all you needed to do to have a cake was add water. Here's the thing, though. It was a complete flop. The sales were pathetic. They couldn't work out why. And when they had their focus groups, what they found out is people said it couldn't be healthy and it couldn't be good if it was that easy. So what the company did was they took out egg powder and told people they had to add water and an egg, and it sold unbelievably well. It was just too easy, too good to be true. Well, there's lots and lots and lots of you out there, I believe, who still think this is too good to be true. You still think there must be some other thing you have to do, some other mountain you have to climb to be good enough. You know, Martin Luther was a great reformer, and you'll know famously that he banged those messages into the door of the cathedral, which sort of signaled the beginning of the Reformation, not the referendum, it's a different thing, the Reformation. But you know, he could be quite direct at times, and those theses were not the only things he wanted to bang into a door, because he once said that he wanted to bang people over the head with his Bible because they couldn't understand simple grace. God's riches at Christ's expense, not by works, so that no one can boast. There's a research group called Barna, and they did some research in the States, and their results about 10 years ago suggested widespread confusion about the gospel, even amongst those who felt responsible to spread the gospel. Almost half of the respondents, that was 46%, believed that it was their personal responsibility to explain their beliefs to others. But most of these evangelizers believed that the Bible was accurate in all its teaching, and that Jesus was crucified and resurrected. They believed all of that. But 48% of them believed that if people were generally good, or they did enough good things for others, that they might earn places in heaven. Do you hear that? Bible-believing, evangelistic Christians, and about half of them believe that good works will get you to heaven. Half of them disbelieve what it says in Ephesians 2 that says that it's not by works. Not by works. So they put works into a box that the Bible doesn't. Barna goes on to say there's plenty of reason for churches to worry if nearly a half of their people who believe in evangelism also believe in salvation by works. The central message of our faith is in salvation by faith alone in Christ, yet many of our evangelists seem to be preaching a different message. Now, folks, please hear me loud and clear on this one. Whether you're Billy Graham or next door to Mother Teresa, or you might be more like Adolf Hitler, but the Bible says that your best efforts are not good enough. In fact, it says your best efforts belong in the bin, like filthy rags. Romans 3, verse 23 says that all have sinned, even Billy Graham, even Francis Chan, even John Piper, even Carlton Baxter. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the only basket to put your egg into if you want to be saved, and the Bible is categorical on this, is the basket of faith. The basket of faith. But here's another mistake we make. We can believe that we just had to have said some sort of magic little prayer at some stage in our lives. That's what the Bible is speaking of when it speaks of this faith alone. The word in Ephesians is pistis. And that word is used in Matthew 8 when a centurion, a Roman centurion, comes to Jesus and wants his paralyzed, suffering servant to be healed. And the centurion says, I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house. Just say the word and he'll be healed. And Jesus says, I have not seen pistis. I have not seen faith like this, even in Israel, in Jerusalem. You see, it's active relationship faith we're talking about here, folks. And it can be boiled down to prayer. Do we have that relationship with Jesus where we talk with him and we walk with him? That relationship with Jesus is all that matters. Not works, so that nobody can boast. Pistis, faith in Jesus, active faith. You know, I believe that there are people that you, right now listening, that there's some of you who need to be saved. I believe that there's people here who need to finally do what Nicodemus was told to do. He was a very religious man, from our point of view, a very, very good man. Bend the good works and be born again, to start again with faith and grace. This series we're doing is called Gloriously Complete, inspired by an old hymn. And I'll say these words again. Lay your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him alone, gloriously complete. Lay it down and stand in him. Do it. The Holy Spirit says, come. Jesus says, come. Your Father says, come. And lay your deadly doing down and stand in Jesus. Have a relationship with Jesus. Know him. Be a grace person, not a religious person. Be his. So that's how you come into a relationship with Jesus. You have to lay the deadly doing down. Does that mean works is bad? It doesn't. It means it's a bad way of getting to heaven, but it doesn't mean it's a bad way of living in the kingdom. In fact, when we lay our deadly doing down and we're saved, we pick up doing again and we serve. We are now doing for him. I think I've used this story before, but I think it was D.L. Moody led a lady who was a cleaner in a house to Jesus, and he came back to her town a few years later, and he asked her, what difference has Jesus made in your life? And she says, now I clean underneath the mats as well. She wasn't cleaning underneath the mats to be saved. She was cleaning underneath the mats because she was now doing it for Jesus. You see, the doing, as we said in Romans 3:23, was an example of our falling short of the glory of God, trying so hard, but not being good enough. But now that we're in Christ, here's what it says in our passage today, Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So lay that doing down at Jesus' feet. Receive him. And now do it for him. It's all for him. You see, works need to be put in the right box. Let me suggest to you one of the enemy, the devil, Satan's chief devices against believers. His chief device against those people who have laid their doing down and really trusted in Christ, his chief device is against you. And unfortunately, even as a minister for only 12 years, slightly under 12 years, I have seen this play itself out again and again and again. And it's what a fantastic preacher and writer called Paul Tripp calls compartmentalization. The enemy wants you to compartmentalize your life. Now, you mightn't have heard that word too many times. Let's think about it as an approach to life that's a bit like a chest of drawers. Compartmentalization. Here's the two mistakes that we're prone to make as we're tempted to compartmentalize. The first is that we keep our spiritual lives and our real lives in separate drawers. We keep our spiritual lives, the things that we do for Jesus, and our real lives in separate drawers. You know, that this is the drawer that we put in Bible studies, and this is the drawer we put in Christian books, and this is the drawer we put in Christian conferences, and this is the drawer we put our church friends in. And then there's the real life of work and of holidays and of family and of our viewing habits on TV and our surfing habits and how we spend our money. That's where the real life stuff goes in. Folks, that is compartmentalization. It's what the enemy desperately wants you to do. He wants you to completely separate your vertical relationship with God with your horizontal relationship with the world. He wants you to separate those things out. because it's not a kingdom life, because the kingdom life is when we offer our whole selves as living sacrifices. You know, Jesus often called this hypocrisy. And he often challenged the religious leaders of his day and told them they're like whitewashed tombs. They look great on the outside. Their vertical relationship looks shiny and bright, but their horizontal relationship gives them away. The relationship with other people, the relationship with the world. We mustn't compartmentalize. There's a particularly sad episode from the history of the church called the Crusades. And as those that were fighting in the Crusades went down to battle, we hear that what they often did was they were baptized on their way to battle. And what they would do was they would go down into the waters of baptism, but they would hold their swords above the water, symbolizing that they were giving it all to Jesus, but that they weren't having what they were about to do with this hand dipped into the waters of baptism. They were trying to compartmentalize. Do you hold real life above the waters of baptism? Are you a person who your faith shapes an aspect of your life, but it's not something that shapes everything in your life? Does it shape what you do on a Sunday, but really doesn't impact your decision making Monday to Saturday? Are you compartmentalizing the spiritual stuff and the real stuff? The second thing that the enemy really wants us to do in this area of compartmentalization is that we might have quite an integrated life. You know, actually, our faith might run through most areas of our life. It might run through how we speak to our spouse or our friends. It might run through many parts of what we do. But maybe there's just one drawer that we haven't let Jesus into. One drawer where he's not king. Something that's off limits to God. Something that's there and we know it's wrong, but we're not bringing it into conversation with our Lord. Something like when Achan in the book of Joshua buried something underneath his tent. And his tent looked amazing, but there was something underground that was causing God concern. It could start off a lot less blatant than Achan stealing some stuff from the pagan temple. It could start off with a flirty relationship or personality that we might have at work. A view or idea that's not consistent with the Bible. It could start off with a refusal to be financially integrous in what we do. John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress speaks of the person who is a saint abroad and a devil at home. A saint abroad and a devil at home. Is there one area of your life, one drawer that Jesus hasn't been allowed into? We mustn't accept that, folks. The staff, we have, during lockdown, been reading a book by one of my favorite preachers, a guy called Simon Ponsonby. And the book's called Different. It's about holiness. But one thing that Simon Ponsonby talks about is he says that for years they've had a squirrel problem in their attic. There's squirrels every single year. And you know, for a number of years they called the pest controllers and brought the pest controllers in to deal with them. But there was one year Simon Ponsonby realized that he didn't notice it because he got used to the squirrels in the attic. Folks, can I tell you, we must not get used to the squirrels in the attic. We mustn't get used to the drawer that Jesus doesn't get into. The devil desperately wants us to compartmentalize our lives, but we mustn't do it. Let me give you an example that shook me to the core as I read it just a few weeks ago. I heard a story about a couple who went into a drive-thru. And it was a bit of like a KFC type place, you know, it was a drive-thru where you got fried chicken. And they both got their takeaway and they went over and they parked up their car and they opened up their bags and their wrapping to eat their chicken. But the man, as he unwrapped his, his chicken, he found something quite different. He found the takings of the chicken shop for the entire day, thousands of pounds wrapped up in his, what they thought they'd given him, chicken. Now, the lovely thing is that man could have done whatever he wanted. He could have driven home thousands of pounds richer. But the man was a Christian. So the man said to the lady, he said, "We need to bring this back." He brought it back, and the manager, sweating, thinking he'd lost the takings, thanked him profusely, heard that he was a Christian, was amazed. And then he said, "What we'll do is, we're going to call the local newspaper and we're going to tell this amazing story of Christian integrity." The man didn't want the chicken shop to do that for one reason. The lady he was with wasn't his wife. What a story. Financial integrity on one side, but moral bankruptcy on the other, adultery on the other. Don't let the devil introduce blind spots. Don't let us compartmentalize our lives so that there's a drawer that's out of reach for Jesus. Don't do it. Folks, you might hear both of these and think the latter is more serious. Yeah, my life isn't completely integrated, but at least I don't have some deep, dark secret in the background. Let me tell you, they're both deadly. They're both deadly. And we have to bring our whole lives to Jesus. As Colossians 3 shows, our whole lives need to glorify God. It says that we have to, in everything we do, in our very thoughts and our deeds, listen to verse 17, "Whatever you do, word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Everything. And then it goes on to say, it matters how we treat our wives. It matters how we treat our husbands. It matters how we treat our children. It matters how we treat our parents. It matters how we treat people at work. In this case, it was slaves, but people in our working life. It matters, it matters, it matters. And it matters completely if our vertical relationship doesn't work itself out in our horizontals. It all needs to be brought under his will, and all needs to be his for his glory. And all our drawers need to be for the glory of God. This week, can I encourage you? Think on everything you do and ask yourself, does it glorify Jesus Christ? Think on everything you do and ask, does it treasure Jesus or does it trash Jesus? And don't even make it neutral. Make it, does this thing that I'm doing glorify Jesus? And I've used this before, but think of that word first. Think about finances, interests, relationships, schedule, trials. Ask yourself, do my finances treasure or trash Jesus? Do my interests treasure or trash Jesus? Do my relationships treasure or trash him? Does my schedule, does my trials? When somebody cuts you off on the road, when somebody drives you mad, when something goes wrong in your life, do you treasure him or trash him? Because the call is to bring everything, 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 every drawer under his lordship. Folks, I'm finished speaking to you, but I'm going to ask you two weird questions. Are you more like Meatloaf or Bryan Adams? Meatloaf says, "I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. Not that drawer." Well, Bryan Adams, he preaches in a way, Colossians 3, and he says, "Everything I do it for you." Can you say that? You know it's true. Everything I do it for Jesus. And I said I was going to ask you two questions. Are you more like Meatloaf or Bryan Adams? Be more like Bryan Adams this week. Finally, are you more like the Titanic or like a set of Russian dolls? Do you know why the Titanic was said to be unsinkable? Because it was compartmentalized. Because they thought that if there was a breach, that it was built in such a way that only that little part of the ship would be filled with water. They found out to their cost that that wasn't true. And we will find out to our cost if we try to compartmentalize our lives that that is not true. In contrast, Russian dolls are so different, aren't they? Because although we have compartments, we have our family life, we have our work life, we have our social life, they all go inside one doll, isn't that right? And the figure that we want all our lives to fit inside is the lordship and the love of Jesus Christ. Folks, if you're not a Christian, let me encourage you. Lay your deadly doing down. Down at Jesus' feet. Stand in Him alone, gloriously complete. If you're a Christian, pick up some doing. Serve Him. Live for Him. Make everything obedient to Him. For His glory alone. Amen.